Have you ever heard one of those rags to riches stories where someone was down and out and living in their car, and then somehow, against all odds, they go on to become a multimillionaire? Well, I have to tell you about this guy named Michael. He was living in his car in Vancouver, Canada, not long before I first met him, more than 20 years ago. Well, fast forward to today, and he's made over $50 million as one of the world's top success coaches. And his journey wasn't easy, and yet it's his journey that enabled him to help tens of thousands of people around the world go from wherever they are to reach higher levels of success. His name is Michael Bolduc, and he's one of the world's most successful coaches. In fact, Brian Tracy calls him the number one goal-setting coach in the world. Well, I wanted to bring Michael on the show today, and he's here, and he's ready to share some of the secrets that he uses to help others become wildly successful. Michael is going to outline his six-step process for actually reaching your goals that he teaches his clients. He's going to share that with you today. Also, he's going to share with you what many of the self-help gurus are telling you that's actually hurting you instead of helping you grow. And two questions that will help you know if your goal is the right one for you or not, and why some experts place too much emphasis on limiting beliefs and what you should be focused on instead. How your emotional state will make the difference in whether or not you achieve your goals, and how to make adjustments if it's not right. He will also introduce you to what he says was the missing piece to his own success philosophy. So grab a pen and paper, because I know he's about to share some life-changing advice. And welcome to this episode of Slightly Off Course. Hey, Michael, thanks for coming on the show. It's great to see you again.
Thank you. Well, they're not going to see us, right? They're going to hear us.
That's right. They're going to hear us. You know, we've known each other for more than 20 years now. And of course, we first met back in Vancouver, Canada, when you were a young single guy. I think you were just working as a computer programmer.
I was back then.
Yes. Yeah. And so you've come a long way since then. You've certainly been an inspirational story to be from this single guy who's a computer programmer to one of the most successful coaches on the planet. So we're going to get into that here in a moment. But of course, I first just have to let people know I was in Thailand just a couple of years ago for your wedding, which was fantastic. That's right. It was great to be a part of that. And we had such a good time. But just for everybody listening, you know, Michael is truly a goals guy, and he had a goal that he was going to have a beachside wedding. And of course, he booked out this really beautiful resort, and we all show up. And then of course, what happens, the rain clouds move in and it starts raining, and the hotel people are like, hey, you're going to have to move this. We can't have this outside. And you were like, no, we're going to have this outside because it's going to clear up. And you just kept persisting with that. And I remember me and some of the other groomsmen, we were like, hey, Michael, like at some point we might need to actually move this inside. And the hotel people, they're like, no, we got to move this inside. And you're like, no, this thing's happening. And lo and behold, maybe 30 minutes later, the rain clouds disappeared. Uh-huh. And you provided what you promised, the wedding on the beach for your wife. So that was pretty a special time.
That was great.
That was. So first of all, Michael, how... You know, this, you know, our show, Slightly Off Course, is also highlights people who really didn't take a traditional path. How did you go from a computer programmer to living in Asia as one of the most successful coaches?
You know, I was thinking about that question, and I think part of the answer is, number one, I didn't like being a programmer. And everybody should do what they're passionate about, because you're spending so many hours doing it. So why do something that you don't enjoy? And so I actually got fired from my job as a programmer. I didn't like it. So, you know, I kept asking for more things, and eventually they said no. And that was actually a good feeling to be fired, because I then, from that point on, I never had another job after that. So, and I transitioned from that to online, and, you know, start to find what am I most passionate about. And I like coaching. I like the idea of, you know, studying success, studying what is it makes the difference in people. Like, why are some people poor? Why are some people rich? I really wanted to know that. So I studied like crazy to find the answer. And, yeah, you know, if you're ambitious, I think you probably will surpass your current limitation. And that time, I think being a programmer was all I thought I could be. I didn't know I could be a coach that has achieved what I've achieved, right? So yeah, I think if you study success, like if you read, like I read a lot of books, you know, I listened to a lot of audio programs, I went to a lot of seminars, and you know, you just put that stuff in your head, it just kind of unlocks that potential inside of you over a period of time. So I think that is part of the cause. I think if I didn't do that, if I didn't study success and do all the things I did, I probably would have still been a programmer. So I think looking at a cause-effect relationship, definitely study success. You want to be successful, Jim Rohn said, study success. You want to be wealthy, study well. You want to be happy, study happiness, right? So that concept, that way of thinking is probably what allowed me to transform myself from a programmer, which I had a pretty good job. I was making pretty good money, to being a coach that has built now $50 million in revenue from the coaching business, so which is pretty good, right?
That's fantastic. Of course, you know, of course, when we're talking about success, goal setting goes right along with that. And Brian Tracy, who obviously is well-respected around the world, he calls you the number one goal-setting coach on the planet. And that's high praise coming from him. So let's talk a little bit about goal setting since we're with the expert here. Lots of people try to set goals. I've tried to set many goals in my life for sure, but the reality is that very few people actually reach their goals. And, you know, especially around New Year's, people set New Year's resolutions. And then eventually as they get older, they say something like, oh, I don't set New Year's resolutions anymore. And the only reason is because they failed so many times, they've just given up. Right. So why is this? Why do we have such a hard time with this?
Yeah, I mean, because we tend to look at outside of ourselves instead of looking inside. Like, so now I broke it down into six steps, right? And, you know, I've been there, I've set goals and not achieved them. I've done that many times. So it's a question of, do you understand enough about achieving goals, right? Because, you know, it's kind of like a puzzle. Maybe, you know, you have some of the pieces, you may not have them all, right? Or like I do the Rubik's Cube, I can do it in like 3 minutes, right? But it's a problem that needs to be solved, right? So in the beginning of learning how to do the Rubik's Cube, I struggled. I sucked at it badly, right? So I went on the internet, I watched YouTube videos trying to like figure it out. It was very slow, very frustrating. I think goal setting is kind of like that, you know, trying to do the Rubik's Cube. So what stops people from achieving goals are problem, right? They face problems. So step one, know what your goal is. And we could talk about, you know, how do we know if it's the right goal or not? But number two is, what is the problem that is stopping you from achieving that goal? But understanding your problem, right, is not the only thing that you need to get an answer to. But number three, what is the root cause of that problem? And that's when we start getting into the juicy psychology part. Because when you look at the root cause of all problems that stop you from achieving goals, 97% of these root cause are inside of yourself. So instead of looking at why can't I achieve my goal, we have to see that the truth is this. The reason people don't achieve their goals is because they have weaknesses and ego. Let's talk about the ego, because we don't want to see, like, you know, people don't like getting feedback for most part, right? Like if you tell me, Michael, you know, you suck at that. I may not enjoy hearing that, might be true, but you see, that's what we need to be honest about, that the reason we didn't achieve our goals, we have weaknesses inside of us. And as long as we don't turn these weaknesses into a strength, step four, design a solution, we're not going to achieve our goals. You could try, it's like, if you keep the weakness, you will never achieve your goal. You have to design a solution around those weaknesses, around those problems. And once you do that, then you can take action and actually achieve those goals.
So as you said so much there, I definitely want to come back to some of these points. But let's go back to the very first one about deciding on a goal. Because I think what happens to a lot of people, this happens to me all the time. I might get inspired in the moment and then I like set this goal, but really I haven't thought through it. And maybe 5 days later, I'm actually not that passionate about. So what advice do you give to somebody, especially when maybe they're at a place in life where they're working at a job, maybe they don't like their job, they know something needs to change, but they're not quite sure what or how. What advice would you give to that person to help them kind of plot the next course of their life and find a new goal?
Well, I think it's not about goals. I think it's about life, right? So we need to look at life differently instead of setting goals. And what I mean by it, like, why do people set goals? And I think it's because we want a better life, an extraordinary life, right? So I think it's not about setting goals per se, but designing what kind of life you want to live. Where do you want to live? How much income do you want? Who do you want to live with, right? I mean, what kind of work do you want to do? You know, what is the dream life for you? You have to answer that question, but it has to feel good. That's the real criteria. If you set a goal that does not feel good, it's probably not the right goal, because our feeling is the motivation behind why we achieve those goals. So how you know you have the right goal is when you visualize or think about that goal, you have this good feeling coming on you, right? But that's not the only thing. I think you also have to look at, you know, something that nobody talks about, which I think is really important, which is, what are you willing to do to achieve that goal? And also, what are you not willing? Because a lot of people set goals, but they're not willing to do anything. Well, then you should not set goals, okay? So it's like, a lot of people, and I work with Thai people here in Thailand, and, you know, sometimes they're like lazy. They set a goal, but they're not willing to do anything about it. Well, that's not right. You know, that psychology is not right. When I transformed myself from broke to millionaire in 3.5 years, the one thing that changed was my willingness. And you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to do to achieve that goal? Now, if you're not willing to pay the price, as simple as this sound, you should not set the goal. You should really count the cost first before building. You know what I'm saying? So, and again, a lot of people have this weakness that they're lazy. So that's a weakness that has to be overcome, right? Again, going back to the problem, like, why doesn't people achieve goals? Well, one reason is they're not motivated enough. Well, why are they not motivated? Because they haven't explored what they're willing to do deep enough, right? Sacrifice things in their life to get it. So I think that's part of the reason why people don't have the right goals. Number one, emotion. Number two, willingness. What are you willing to do? If you're not willing to do anything, don't set a goal.
Can we go back for a moment and talk a little bit about your story? Because as you said, you went from broke to millionaire in 3.5 years. And you know, I know it's sometimes cliche when someone says, oh, they lived in their car, but you did, like, you did live in your car. And so tell us a little bit about that journey. Like, at what point did you begin to craft that goal that, hey, I am going to be a millionaire? And then how did you go about that?
Well, I mean, when you're struggling in life, the one thing you have to understand, like, when I was living in my car, I had $10 in my pocket, no family to like support me. I had nothing. So immediately our brain is going to shift into survival mode. We're not thinking into how to design the ideal life. So either people are in this survival mode, paying their bills, right? Like when I'm living in my car, my brain is in the limbic system part of the brain, fight or flight. And so here I am in my car and, I remember I was sleeping in my car, the police knocking my window in Vancouver, BC in Stanley Park and say, hey, you can't park here. You can't sleep in this park. And I'm like, oh, okay. I move my car and then where am I going to go? Right. And I remember going to West Beach, you know, I think that's what it's called. And, parking my car there and having to go to the toilet and, you know, shower in the toilet with things like that. But, you know, how do you get out of that? Again, I was listening to, you know, Tony Robbins' personal power tapes and things like that to get myself like, you know, how do I get out? But, you know, I think nobody talks about it, but he made things very complicated. Things are quite simple. And the more complicated the whole goal setting is, the harder it's going to be. You got to simplify it in your mind. It is actually quite simple. But I think the old way of teaching success has complicated it, right? Like I said, you got to know your goal. You got to know the problem, find the root cause of the problem, which is a weakness. design a solution, and find out what you're willing to do, and then program the subconscious. Those are probably the six steps. And it's really that simple, James. And that was a journey to discover how to do that. And the better I got at following that ultimate success formula, then the more successful I became. And that's how I transformed myself. So, you know, like, it wasn't like I was thinking to be a millionaire when I'm living in my car. I was thinking, like, how can I make a couple of $1,000? And then once I achieve a couple of $1,000, then of course I wanted to make, you know, six-figure income. And for a lot of people, that's going to be the hardest goal. You know, it's probably harder to make six-figure income for some than it will be that to go from six-figure to being a millionaire is probably easier. Okay, because you have money, you have income that you can save. So the biggest challenge for most people is, how do I go from making a few thousand dollars a month to making six-figure income? And so that was a big challenge. But again, it's about overcoming all the weakness inside of you. You're not going to make six-figure if you have weaknesses inside of you. You won't become a millionaire if you don't overcome those weaknesses. So that was a journey that I went through, right? I had a lot of growing to do, my mindset, you know, and the way I think, and the psychology part is really big about the weakness. But there's a lot to say about that. But yeah, that would be my answer.
For sure. I know you have so much to share on this topic, and we only have you for such a short time. So I appreciate all these answers. When you talk about weakness, I'm assuming, you know, you're talking about weakness in mindset. When you look back at part of your journey, what were some of the biggest weaknesses that you had to overcome in order to really make progress?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, right? Like, that's why, like, I've coached thousands of people, James, right? And there are two kind of customers. The first customer is already successful, very easy to coach, okay? Because they've overcome a lot of their weaknesses. But let's say I get a customer, right? And they have lots of weaknesses. Not one, not two, I mean lots, 15, 16, 17, 20 weakness. I don't care how good of a coach I am. Their journey is going to be tough. They're going to be climbing up a mountain. They're going to get tired. They're going to want to give up because there's so many weakness to overcome. And as a coach, I have to be patient. So I was that person who had 20 different weaknesses, you know? So and yeah, I mean, a lot of them are mindset. Like, probably the number one weakness is you set a goal and you give up, right? Like, that's probably the number one. And, you know, and I remember thinking that, okay, this goal, like, I remember setting a six-figure income goal. I said, I will never give up on this goal until the day I die. And that was probably an important decision to turn the weakness into a strength. Because at what point are you going to stop giving up? That was the question, like, in my head, right? Like, at one point, am I going to stop making a goal? It gets tough, drop the goal, go to the next one. At one point, am I going to stop doing that? Because I realize if I don't stop doing that, I'm going to follow the same pattern of setting a goal. It gets tough because I have weaknesses and given up. And I realize that has to stop. I've got to stop giving up. That's probably the ultimate weakness, giving up. Because even if you have a weak mindset, you don't give up, you'll overcome one weakness at a time, right? So, but there's a lot, James. I mean, I'd literally give you, as I said, like top 20 list of weakness that I've had, you know, including things like speech impairment, suffering states, fear of losing, fear of not being good enough, limiting beliefs, not having an effective plan, not knowing what to do. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, right? So, yeah.
I think one of the things, at least for me, that's so inspiring about your story is that you were not born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You were not born, you know, where everybody just handed you this easy life. You obviously had some really tough things happen, some tragic situations when you were young. Then as you got older, like you said, you're living in a car. And you went from that state to where you are today. And it's very inspiring. And one thing, as I've seen you over the you know, 20 plus years, I have seen you just continually invest in yourself like no one else that I've ever seen. Like, you're just constantly in a learner's mode. And I know that there's a lot of times you've coached me and you've helped me out in so many things. But at the same time, I know that you're continuing to learn and grow. And there's that commitment that's really impressive. So let's just go back to those six steps for a minute. Number one is to figure out your goal, and you got to get that. Secondly, at some point you're going to run into a resistance, and that's the problem. Is that what, am I tracking right on that? Yeah,
you're exactly right. What are the problems you're facing?
What are the problems
you're facing? And prioritize them. Not all the problems you face need to be solved. So you have to prioritize what are the problems that need to be solved. Number one, number two, number three, right?
Yeah, let's walk through a practical example. Maybe even you have a recent client that, you know, we can go through just an example of, you know, what was the goal? Then what were some of the problems that began to come up? And then how do we go from there to finding out root cause?
Sure. I mean, I had a Japanese client that they're an MMA fighter. They never won. So they came to my seminar. And so what is the problem, right? And the problem is that they keep losing and they don't know why, like they keep like losing until they identify the problem is that they have a weak mindset. Okay. Because winning is a mindset. 80% of winning is in your head. You win in your head first before you win in reality. So we talked about, you know, like being so motivated that you're willing to do whatever it takes. Why do you want to achieve that goal? And so as we discussed that with him, right, he finally identified that the root cause of why he never won is he never really had a big reason to win. So now we know the root cause, that he never took enough time to think, why do I must win? Because when he faces his opponent in his ring, whoever is most skilled, yes, that's a factor. I don't deny that. You got to train. You got to be a great fighter. But you also need to have a very big reason why you're going to beat your opponent. So we talked about it and he came up with it. I didn't come up with his reason because they're his reasons. And his reason is if he's going to win, he will marry his girlfriend. He will ask his girlfriend right in the ring. He'll give her a ring in the ring. That's kind of funny, right? To engage with her. So that really motivated him. So he said, I remember because he came back to the like seminar, he brought his belt with me. And the story was like this. He looked at his opponent in the eye and he said, why did you bother showing up? In his head, right? And literally within a minute, he knocked him out because he had a compelling reason to knock him out. You're not going to take my girl, man. You're going down, buddy. So that really impressed me that he was able to translate the ideals that I teach in that way. And he was very grateful. He came back, brought the belt, and he says, I would have never won if you hadn't shared those concepts with me. But the reality is he did his part and he just found the solution. You know, that was his like commitment. I was just one of those person who was a great messenger to him, to share with him what I figured out as well, that 80% of why is 80% of the reason why people achieve their goals, they have enough motivation to do so. So I could give you tons of stories about that, but that's one of them.
I like what you're saying in terms of, you know, as you define a goal and that eventually there's going to be a problem, we're going to find out the root cause, but then we're going to design a solution to fix that problem. Because once we fix the problem, you're going to make your way to your goal.
That's right. If you're willing, don't forget the willing part. Because a lot of people know what to do, but they don't do it because they don't observe inside themselves, what am I willing to do? Because to try to do something you're unwilling to do, it's not going to work. You're going against the grain of your feelings. So that's a big part too.
Well, here on Slightly Off Course, we talk a lot about the unconscious, the subconscious, and some of the patterns that it throws us into and how the subconscious can really limit us and is exactly what you're talking about here. So what are some things that you do in terms when you're helping a client, once you've identified, like, here's some weaknesses, here's some subconscious beliefs that are not helping them? How do you help people start to get past that?
Well, if we're talking about subconscious belief, I think the coaching industry overrates belief. Like, it's not just about belief. It's about opportunity, because belief without opportunity is useless. Let's think of it this way, right? When I coach people, they have one of those problems. Either they say they don't have enough opportunity, or opportunity comes and they don't take it. So why is it they don't maximize the opportunity? Let's say Bitcoin, right? Let's use Bitcoin. Everybody had the opportunity to invest in Bitcoin from the very beginning. It was all over the news that Bitcoin one day is going to be worth $100,000 per coin. As we know, Bitcoin just reached an all-time high of 69,000. Now, ask yourself this. When you saw that opportunity, did you believe it or did you doubt it? Now, I'm not asking you, James. I'm sure you can answer that for yourself. I'm asking everyone who's listening, right? You see, what I'm trying to say is that a lot of times opportunity will come in our life, and because of our limiting belief, and maybe their subconscious, right? We have this skeptical attitude towards it. Like right now, for example, I'm creating my own cryptocurrency and I message everybody in my like messenger. A lot of people have these, even smart people, rich people, millionaires, you know, I know a lot of people, they have this unconscious limiting beliefs. And I know it comes out, I can see it right away. And so people who are ready on the vibrational level, okay, because belief equals vibration, they equal how you feel about the opportunity. If you have an opportunity and you feel certain that opportunity is going to make me rich, you will do it, okay? So the more certainty you have, the more belief you have in the opportunity, the more you're going to take action on it. Can you imagine if you had taken action at Bitcoin when it was a dollar and you purchased $1,000, that you'd own 1,000 Bitcoin today, you're very rich. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Like how many times, and this is why I say it's not about belief, it's about a balance of belief with opportunity. So, or people will say to me, Michael, there's no opportunity. I remember coaching somebody in my family and I'm coaching them and they're from a small town. And they say, well, you know, you have lots of opportunity and I don't. But the problem there is when you believe there's no opportunity, that's like ultimate limiting belief, right? So because then you don't see the opportunities. So your belief actually determines your perception. If you believe there's so many opportunities to be rich today and good things are coming in my life, when opportunity comes, you're mentally prepared. Somebody once said, luck is the offspring of preparation meeting opportunity. That preparation is your mental preparation. It's your belief preparation. It's your vibration preparation. So when opportunity comes, you say, that's it. I've attracted it into my life. And then you maximize it. You take advantage of it. Like you should, like everyone should, but not everybody does because not everybody bought Bitcoin. There were more skeptical, negative people towards that than there should have been, right? So, but they were wrong. But it's their belief that was wrong.
Well, I wish I'd have bought Bitcoin at a dollar, even $5, but I didn't. It's so true. So you said something there that I wanted to chat about also. And you use the word vibration. So in the coaching circles, this word gets used a lot, being in the right vibration, the right state. Even people that talk about law of attraction will talk about vibration. And so how, first of all, what is that? When people say vibration, you've got to be in the right vibration. What does that mean? And then secondly, how important is that?
Well, let's talk about the meaning of vibration is really the state that you live in. Okay, emotional state. So we now know that everything is vibration in the universe. Everything. We are made of energy. And these energy translate into the emotion that you live in. Now, let's separate that into two different states, like positive emotions, negative emotions. So negative emotions carry low vibration, especially guilt and shame are like, we can measure the amount of vibration. The amount of vibration in the state of guilt, for example, is 30 megahertz or something like that. And enlightenment is 700. So you can imagine that's a huge range between 30 and 700 plus, by the way, because enlightenment can go much higher than that. So when we set a goal and we're not in vibrational alignment with that goal, again, it's like this, right? We all have inner dialogue in our head all day long, but a lot of us don't have the right inner dialogue to achieve our goal. So a lot of, there's too much emphasis in, you know, your thinking, like you have to change your thinking, like the whole self-help industry, success gurus, they all teach about thinking. The law of attraction, you know, teaches about thinking. I disagree that it's not about thinking. It's actually about from what emotional state are you thinking from? That is the key here. You should not be so, you know, obsessed with your thinking. There is such a thing as right thinking and wrong thinking. But you see, it's very difficult to think positive when you're feeling shame or guilt or fear, because those states control your inner dialogue. You're not going to talk to yourself positive when you're feeling bad. So when you're in a low vibrational state, you tend to have more negative thoughts, right? Your inner dialogue is not positive. Whereas if you feel a beautiful state, a positive state, you know, excitement and passion, love, peace, joy, gratitude. In this state, your inner dialogue can be aligned with your goals. So you must align your inner dialogue so that it helps you achieve your goals. So it's the most important question that people have to consistently ask is, from what state am I thinking from? Am I thinking from a suffering state? Or am I thinking from a beautiful state of joy instead of I need to change my thinking? No, you need to change how you feel. You need to put yourself in a high vibrational state. So that's the ideal there with vibration, that it literally you attract based on the state you're in. If you're in a negative state, you attract negative things. The universe will not support you. If you believe in universal intelligence, we could get into that as well, that there is this God, if you want to call it God, or at least universal intelligence, that from a state of gratitude, love, peace, joy, enlightenment, you can connect to and get guidance on how to achieve your goal. Now we're going at a completely different level, but those things are possible. Hence why some people seem to be extremely blessed with abundance, because the universe is giving them those opportunities. Okay. If you ask, but you don't believe, you will not receive it. Like a lot of people go to God and say, please give me, you know, I want to achieve my goal, bless me. But then the opportunity comes and they don't believe. And then God delivered the opportunity, but the person didn't believe. Well, right. Like that was not very good. Don't bother asking if you're not going to believe. But you see, you can't ask from a suffering state. You got to ask from a beautiful state, right? Like people go to God when they're in like suffering and say, oh my God, my life sucks. I don't have any money. Please help me. God's not going to give it to you because you're not in a right vibrational state to receive it. So let's leave it at that. There's a lot I could say about this.
So yeah, and all this is fascinating to me. And let's say that, let's say there's someone listening to this podcast right now. They're not happy with their job. They're behind in their rent. They're not doing well financially. And they want to double their income, let's say. And so they can create that goal. But then when, and they can be excited about it. But when they fall out of that state and back to a place of fear, survival, shame, guilt, whatever it is, what you're saying is they've got to get back out of that state into those higher states. Do you have tips for people of how they can do that?
Two things I would say in short, because of limited time. Number one, I would say that you have to make a decision that you will live in a beautiful state of joy, happiness, gratitude, no matter what happens in your life. Whether you're rich or poor, that is not the factor. Whether you can live in a beautiful state of joy or beautiful state of happiness, that is not the determining factor. Nothing outside of you controls how you feel unless you let it, right? So you got to make a decision that I will cut off all suffering from my life. You really got to do that. Like, and that's really what, you know, Jesus said, the treasure of heaven is within us. I really like that personally, because that resonates with me as a teaching, that heaven is really what we feel inside of us. So when we make a decision to cut off all suffering and live in a beautiful state, I would say that's kind of a first level of ascending to maybe something that Jesus thought. I'm no expert, but at least that resonates with me personally. So I would think like that, right? Like, don't try to think money is going to make me happy. No, try to, that you already have the potential to live in a beautiful state every day, wake up every day and live in a beautiful state. You know, yesterday I'm trading and, you know, Bitcoin crashed and I was down about $250,000 to give you a clue. But that doesn't affect how I feel. Maybe for a minute or two, I might feel bad about it because I'm a human, of course, right? And I did. But I don't have to stay in a suffering state. Nobody should stay there, right? That's the first thing. Second thing is that you have to think about that when you are trying to pay the bills, like you said, right? Like you're in a survival mode. Your goal is not to double your income. I'm sorry, but that's the wrong goal. Okay. Because the brain won't do well in that environment of survival. Your goal is, it should be like this. Okay. You need to make enough money to pay all your bills plus some. Okay. That's your goal. Let me explain the psychology behind that. It will make a lot of sense. See, as long as you're in the limbic system trying to survive, your brain is in survival mode. You're not going to design a dream life. So what you need to do is create a surplus amount of money so that you're saving enough money, let's say, for 3 months surplus, right? So let's say your expense is $2,000 a month. So you're saving money trying to get to $6,000 extra. Now you've got $6,000. You're good for 3 months. The next 3 months, you can relax. Because you're good for next 3 months, you can focus on designing your ideal life because you're not in survival mode anymore. You're now changing from survival mode to design my ideal life mode. But let me tell you something, trying to design your ideal life while you're trying to pay the bills and you're in a brain, the limbic system part of the brain, which is a reaction, fight or flight, very tough. Focus on creating a surplus first so you can get out of that mindset.
I appreciate you saying that because so many people in the coaching space, I think what they do is they pump people up to have all these lofty dreams and ambitions, and it sets people up for failure when many of them are still in this survival mode, and then they're trying to make seven figures, but they're still caught in this limbic system. So I appreciate so much what you're saying, and that makes so much sense, even from a motivation perspective. So thank you for that. You know, you were talking a little bit about goals and being in a great state. And I remember being in Bolivia when I was climbing mountains down there, and we were in this little village called Lake Titicaca, and which is a fun name in itself. But outside these old churches, I thought it was like toys, like there'd be like this dollhouse and all these little cars and stacks of cash. And I thought, oh, is this for people to buy for their kids? And they're like, no, this is for people who are like villagers or poor people that are coming in from the farms. And what they'll do, this is just the belief system they have, is that they would, you know, if they want a new house, they would buy this little house and then they would go and sit down and they would wait outside of mass. And as the priest would walk by, they would ask the priest to bless them. And then for them, it was a belief, because they're kind of combining religions down there. And then for them, it was a belief that they were going to get that. But it was just interesting that they were using these miniature things to create, in a sense, a vision for themselves. Like, this is what I want. And I'm going to believe that I'm going to get that.
It's great. And even though they may not have a lot of opportunity, that would at least maximize what they see, right? What is possible for them. So that's great. It's a great story. The other thing I want to add to this ideal that people struggle to achieve their goals, and I should say this is probably the most important thing people will ever hear in their life, is that nobody can build on failure. Okay. Let me elaborate on that. What do I mean when I say nobody can build on failure? Is that you got to really think about what I'm going to say here. You should reflect on it. There's this big concept that changed my life. It was when I got coaching. I paid, you know, top coach in America, and he was coaching me. And one of the first things he said to me on the phone, because there was no Zoom or Skype back then, he said, "Michael, let me tell you something. Success is built on success." He says, "There's a lot I could say about that, but you're going to need to think about what that means to you. Because up until then, I got to tell you the truth, James. Up until I got a coach, I was struggling. I kept setting goals and struggle. But that resonated with me a lot. I understood that, wow, I got to work my ass off to get a success. And listen, while this ideal of big thinking. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that because that may motivate you. And I have big goals and big dreams and all that. But let's be honest. A lot of us think about these big goals and they're far-fetched. They're way out there. Don't think like that. It's not about big dreams, big goals. That's just to motivate you. It's really about building success on success. When I see my students struggle, they come in my coaching. They always want to achieve big goals, but they're not ready to achieve big goals. So I plant this idea in their mind that forget it, you know, just achieve a small goal so you get a success. You know, like for me, like I said, once I made that 2,000 a month, I go from 5,000 and then 10,000, and then you get that momentum. Get that thought in your mind. Success is built on success, and that will have a huge effect on your ability to go from struggling to achieve goals to transitioning to building success on success. A lot could be said about that too. Okay, a whole entire seminar could be created and a seminar could be called Building Success on Success, right?
Well, just before we wrap up, I had a chance to go to one of your seminars in Asia, and what a high energy event. You know, if you ever get a chance to go to one of Michael's seminars, there's lots of energy for sure. Lots of jumping up and down, which is totally not me, like as a natural introvert. But I got right into it. It was so much fun, so motivating. But more than the energy was the principles that you taught and that you're teaching, even as you're talking about here. I see why Brian Tracy called you the number one goal setting coach in the world, because there's just so much wisdom that you share. And the last thing I wanted to ask was, you mentioned this concept of beautiful state versus suffering state. And can you just briefly talk about that? Because I think what happens for a lot of people is, and I've done this myself as well, where I don't take responsibility for my state and I leave my state to the external forces around me. Like, oh, I feel crappy today because, you know, X, Y, and Z happened. But I've heard you talk about this before that, hey, we really are in control of the state that we live in.
It's hard for me to explain to people the whole philosophy, but when I went to India, I went to an enlightenment school. And I remember the first time I arrived to like India, it's hell going to India. I don't know if you've ever been there, but as soon as you leave the airport and you start driving, they beep the horn every five like seconds. It's annoying. It's bumpy. It's like a 3-hour ride is hell. But when you finally get to the compound, this enlightenment compound, it was on the beach. It's beautiful. They give me a beautiful room. It's peaceful. It's like night and day from, you know, going through the roads with like cows in the middle of the road and, you know, like that, right? But I remember going there and finally we get to the course, which is like 10 days. And the first thing they said, we will teach you a beautiful state philosophy that will cut off. It does not allow suffering. It will cut off all suffering from your life. And they got you to say like 4 or 5 times, I will cut off all suffering from my life. I will cut off all suffering from my life. And I remember thinking of this ideal that, you know, Tony shared with me that I will live in a beautiful state no matter what. And so while I can't tell you everything about the philosophy, I do, as I learn more about it, they were absolutely correct that this beautiful state philosophy did not allow suffering. And they actually wrote a book about it. And I recommended that book to you, James, if you remember. And you can search Beautiful State in Amazon. It will probably find that book, right? The Four Sacred Truth, I believe it's called.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes here.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's the best way to learn about it. But I would say that out of everything I've learned, you know, on success, that one was probably my missing piece in my life. Like where I felt, I don't know what else I need. Like I probably will not read another success book, you know, in my life. You know, I rarely read success books anymore. And I'll tell you why, because I just don't feel I need it. You know, like people say, oh, I read this great like success book. And I'm like, yeah, great for you. But you know what? I'm fulfilled. My philosophy of life is pretty good. I don't feel like I'm searching anymore. I feel like I found my philosophy. It works. I'm able to live in this beautiful state almost all the time. And when I suffer, I stay there minutes instead of hours. So people should check it out. Like, I mean, imagine you could learn a new way of thinking, like a map of the world, a philosophy, a blueprint that you operate by that allows you to get out of like suffering very quickly, because some people stay in that suffering state way too long. Some hours, some days, some months, some forever, you know? So life is meant for us to enjoy, not for us to be stressed or fearful or anger or whatever people feel. So that was the missing piece for me. And it's probably the missing piece in America, because that philosophy has not been widely taught, I would imagine, in America, that side of the world, right? So remember, I live in Thailand. I have access to like India. I've been working like Japan. But as far as enlightenment, India has opened my eyes more than anywhere else. So that, thanks to them. So Krishnaji is one of the, Krishnaji is his name, right? The guy who taught me.
Yeah, I'll put all that in the show notes and people can go and check out all those links. So I remember at your seminar, also you had t-shirts and it said, I will live in a beautiful state no matter what. And
right.
I remember adopting that mantra and I've not always stuck with it for sure. I need to get back to it, but just that I will live in a beautiful state no matter what, regardless of what's going on. It's a decision of the state that I get to be in. So it was so cool. Well, listen, my friend, I've kept you long enough. We're going to have you back on the show because we're just scratching at the surface. I know that. I did want to close though and let you know why you're an inspiration to me. Really so many reasons, but one of them, when I think back of your story, your journey, like I said, I know you've gone through some of the toughest of tough times, but you didn't quit and you just kept persevering and you found a way to get it done. And along the way, you didn't fall into victimhood. You just kept investing in yourself. And I remember hearing some of the stories of the coaches that you hired when it was like, you didn't even have the money really to do this, but you just did it because you just had this belief, I'm guessing, in yourself. And all of that investment paid off. And now you have touched the lives of tens of thousands of people all over the world. Not only that, you're a great friend. You've helped me out in so many ways. You have a beautiful family. You're a great father. And I just have so much respect for you. And I wish you all the best, my friend, especially as you launch this new cryptocurrency, which we'll leave all the information in the show notes about that as well.
Great. Yeah, I'm very, very excited about this new cryptocurrency. So it's a new technology. It's going to change the world. And thank you for sharing that. And I'm just a human being. So I think if I can do it, anybody can do it. I think that you just got to want it. You just got to have the motivation to want a better life. It's nothing special about me, right? Just in fact, trying to get away from this ego that I'm a top coach is probably the best decision I ever made. And before I'm even a coach, I'm a human being like everybody else. And, you know, as a human, I just want to live an extraordinary life. And so I figured some things out. And I think this podcast left them a lot of clues. So it's up to them to believe those clues will really change their life. And coaching is absolutely a fundamental principle of my life. You know, both James and I have exchanged coaching. James is a great speaker and I was not always as great as James. So I often hired James to guide me to be a great speaker and many other things as well, you know, spiritually and things like that. So we are both great coaches. And I also look up to you, James, and want everybody to know how much actually value you've added in my life. So it's a two-way street. We are great friends, I think, above just, you know, business. So that's very valuable to me as well. So thank you for being a great friend.
Well, thank you for that. And thanks for being on the show. Say hi to your family for me, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Michael. And what I'd love to know is, how did this episode affect how you think about your goals and what changes are you going to implement because of it? And hey, drop us a note on our Instagram, which is Slightly Off Course Podcast, and let us know. Also, if you're thinking that you would like some help with leveling up your life, then check out our new transformational program called the 100 Day Climb, which is a 100 day sprint to help you figure out your goals and then lock in the mindset and the daily activities that are going to help you get there. If you'd like more information, go to www.100dayclimb.com, and that's 100 as in 100. So www.100dayclimb.com. Listen, for today's show notes and to learn more about Michael, his coaching, or his new crypto coin that he's launching, you can go and find that at jamesrobbins.com episode-5. That's jamesrobbins.com/episode-5. Well, that's it for this episode of Slightly Off Course. I'm James Robbins, and I'll see you in the next episode.